Listen now for Call to Worship, a half-hour program dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by the Zion Chapel in Holland.
Like to read today from God's holy word as we find it in the book of Revelation chapter 2, reading to the church at Pergamos, the 12th verse of the second chapter. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, These things saith he, which hath the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. And thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So thou hast also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Let's give thanks for these words that are part of the Holy Scripture, for doctrine, reproof, correction, and instruction in righteousness. Let's pray especially that we will be so taught that we will want instruction in righteousness. Our Father, we come to Thee through Christ Jesus, Thy Son, Thy eternal Son, Thy only begotten Son, one with Thee in heaven, one that was with Thee in creation, and one that magnified the law, one who was called Jesus because He shall save His people from their sins. And Lord Jesus, we give thanks that Thou hast come down to earth to be born, to live, to die, and to rise again, and now art ascended up on the right hand of the Father, where Thou dost make Thine enemies Thy footstool. And we pray that that may be done today, in love, in grace, that many might be changed, as the apostles were changed and had their hearts opened, their understanding opened to the Scriptures, and then also that they could teach the Scriptures and be Thy witnesses. And we pray that there might be many called today that will be Thy witnesses again in the world, that the church might be revived and added to. We pray, Father, also for our homes, the desperate straits they are in, so many broken. We pray for the children in the troubled homes. We pray for the church to be taught that it will not be a part of the error and the wickedness, sometimes encouraging and directing toward the way of divorce, and the many counselors, so-called, that give false counsel and wrong counsel. We pray that, Father, we may be made to go back to Thy Word, and especially to Him whom Thou hast given, who has that sharp two-edged sword to come out of His mouth, and that we might heed it, and that we might know its cutting power in every sphere of life, in marriage, in government, in every way of the workplace, the schools, all for Thy glory. All, Father, as Thou hast given it, Thou who alone art the giver of every good and perfect gift. And we give Thee thanks for the blessings in nature that we have, and we pray for those that are suffering under ravages of nature. We pray for those in the war-torn lands. We pray for those in sorrow. We pray for those, Father, in weakness and old age, sickness and injury. We pray that Thou would give healing to many, give them faith to look to Thee for that blessing, and also to learn through their afflictions, that they might experience the peaceable fruits of righteousness, knowing the brevity of life, the certainty of death, and the need to prepare for it all through Christ. Amen. As we look at this third church spoken to here, the last few weeks we have considered the words of the Lord Jesus to the church at Smyrna, especially those of Himself, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. And as I said, unless we know Him, we cannot be part of His church. We cannot be in the true church. The true church is His body. The true church is that which was paid for by His blood. The true church are those who believe on Him. As Paul said to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, thou and thy house. Yes, thy house has to become believers too, as well as the parents. And only by believing are both parents and children saved. Children are not saved by being born in Christian homes. Some would teach that, and teach that they are then God's children. We must be born again, everyone. Christ spoke it to Nicodemus, a ruler who had evidently not learned that. He says, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? If we're born right, why would we have to be born again? Yes, again. Not just from above. It is from above, but it is also again. The new birth. And only then can we have eyes to see God's kingdom. Only then can we be given a will to want to enter into that kingdom. Acknowledging we're outside, knowing we must be taught and brought in by Christ, by the Father, drawing us, by the Holy Spirit, teaching us, convicting us, and then taking the things of Christ and showing them to us. That had happened to these seven churches. Each one of them had that beginning. Only then could they be truly a church. We can read of some of them. Some of these we do not read of in the book of Acts. We do not know when they began. But the church of Ephesus, we have the plain teaching and the epistle to the Ephesians, where Paul says God chose them, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. In the first chapter, the second chapter, how that choosing went into effect. He says, "You hath he quickened who were dead, quickened together with Christ, and made to sit together in heavenly places." And then the end of that chapter, as we read it last week, Christ the head. Yes, the head. The only head of the church. No one else with him. We might be, as fathers, husbands, heads of the home. There might be heads of a nation, leaders, kings, governors, presidents, prime ministers, but not of the church. Some in government have been tried to lead the church, and some still think they have that office, but they don't. Christ alone is the head of the church, and we must know it. We're doing violence, doing wrong, and we may be in the wrong number if we think wrongly. Like here, we read in our previous messages of the church at Smyrna, "Them which say they are Jews and are not are but of the synagogue of Satan." Yes, Satan has his people too. Satan is the deceiver, the liar. And we not only see that there in that church to Smyrna, synagogue of Satan, we see it and we read it in this church at Pergamos. The Lord Jesus said, "I know thy works," verse 13, "and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days when Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you, where Satan dwelleth." Yes, Satan is a being, a terrible being. As Christ said to some who were Jews, born of the seed of Abraham, had his blood in their veins, many generations following Abraham, but yet at the time of Christ, he said to some, "You are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do." Right in Jerusalem, amongst that people who themselves said, "We have one Father, even God, who said Abraham is our father. We're his descendants, we're like him." They thought they were part of his spiritual family. And though they may have had his blood in their veins, they didn't have his faith in their heart. They had the proudness of Satan. Satan, who wants to make his throne on high, as we can read of it in Isaiah 14. "Make my throne above the Almighty." He wants to usurp power. He wanted to take those that God created in the beginning captive. And in one way he did. Eve, by a lie. Adam, listen to Eve and to Satan. The Lord Jesus, with the Father, created them and said to them, "Don't eat of that one tree. The day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die." Adam said, "You won't die." Asked the question, "Hath God said?" As if it wasn't true. One thing we need to emphasize is God's word is true. everyone will come to believe it. Some in grace, hearing it preached, having their hearts open and convicted by the Spirit, coming to believe the gospel, the good news that Christ died for sinners. As I said, that's how these churches all had their beginning. Their beginning in believing in Him that spoke of Himself to the church at Smyrna, as we saw earlier, the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. Was dead, died on the cross for sinners. Laid in the tomb, arose again. Up from the grave He arose, as we sing. The victor over sin, death, and hell. Yes, Isaiah already spoke of that. He shall see the travail of His soul, after describing Him as that suffering servant. And we need to know Him who is speaking here, not just about the church. We need to know the one who is writing to this church, the one who holds the seven angels in His hand, the one who walks amongst the seven golden candlesticks, which are the seven churches, walks, talks, one that before He left this earth, after He was dead, rose again, said, "Lo, I am with you always." He's here today by His Spirit, and He knows where we are. He knows where Satan's seat is in a particular way. As He said here, first to the church at Smyrna, the synagogue of Satan, then to the church at Pergamos, "I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name." There are different manifestations of Satan. Sometimes we call people heathen, and they're in Satan's full grasp and blindness, darkness. Also, we know that Satan not only comes as he can, as a roaring lion, but also as an angel of light. When Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he stated, "I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety," the serpent which is Satan, "so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth an other Jesus," there are those who preach an other Jesus today. They say Jesus was a prophet. Some say Jesus was a good man. That's an other Jesus than the Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, one through whom God created the world, the one of whom He spoke from heaven, said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And when some heard it, they said it thundered. God spoke. And then, as Peter said, also hearing God speak, that we have a more sure word of prophecy, "Whereunto you do well to take heed until the day star arise in your hearts." Yes, Satan is darkness. Satan is death. Satan is a liar. Christ is light, life. Remember what we sang at the beginning of this program. The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, His glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. In one way that was fulfilled when He was born, the angel came down, spoke to the shepherds, had a blessed message, "For unto you is born this day a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And shortly after that, there was a heavenly host singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Everyone that has believed has found peace with God through Christ, and will also, in many ways, have peace with their neighbors, peace with their enemies, even if they are like the church at Smyrna, The last part of that letter said, some of you will be tried. The devil will cast some of you into prison that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. To this church at Pergamos, he said, even in those days where Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But he could say, don't fear those things. Satan is real. Satan is there. But if we know and have received the Lord Jesus Christ, then as John would say and write, he that is in you is greater than he that is without. He is called the prince of this world, the prince of darkness. Yes, not only as we read from Revelation there of Satan himself deceiving Eve, but we also have Paul speaking of those who became apostles of Satan and were transformed into apostles of Christ. That same 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said of some, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Yes, sometimes he comes openly, terribly, in darkness, but other times in the church, he'll come as an angel of light. And it's far more dangerous than the way he may come in the world, in the awful ways of open sin. Transformed into an angel of light. But he always is a liar, a deceiver, and often a persecutor, as he was both to the church here at Smyrna and at Pergamos. The last part of the letter to the church at Smyrna, you shall have tribulation, but be faithful unto death. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Through death we can be kept by Christ, who gained the victory over sin and death and hell. He has entered in. He has been the one tempted by Satan and can deliver us from temptation, but also from every other way of Satan. And that was true here because the Lord Jesus introduced himself here to the church at Pergamos. These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. He showed himself that way to John in the beginning before he told John to write these 7 letters. John saw him, heard the voice that spake. He turned, and he saw one like unto the Son of Man. And Christ had been the Son of Man, had come down to earth and become the Son of Man, and went back to heaven. But here, a number of years later, he's showing himself to John again in that way. And he described him as his eyes were as the flame of fire. He described his feet. He described other parts of the Lord Jesus. And said, out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. He laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, amen, and have the keys of hell and death. All power has been given to Christ. That's why in the prayer that he taught us to pray, included in the Sermon on the Mount, the last part of that prayer, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. It was there in creation, speaking this world into existence, and it will be there all through time, and it'll manifest itself wonderfully. Mighty when he comes again, and every eye will see him. Then he'll fully manifest that power that many are resisting today, and he allows it. Why, I don't know. But he allows the wicked to go on. all for his own glory. Pharaoh was wicked, rebelled against Moses' words, God's words through Moses. But God simply said, for this purpose have I raised thee up, that I might make my power known. You can read of that in Paul's letter to the church at Rome. It's all there, in the Word, all that we need to know. And here is the word to these churches, the church at Pergamos. These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Not just in his hand, but as we could see in chapter 1, out of his mouth went that sharp two-edged sword. The one who could comfort the apostles just before his death, saying, my peace I leave with you. He comforted them. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place, I will come again, that where I am, there you may be also. But he can go forth also to war. He can fight this enemy of our soul, Satan. And he did himself fight him. At the beginning of his ministry, he was tempted of Satan. And three times over, those temptations came, and each time he answered him with the word of God. He could say, thus it is written, thus it is written, thus it is written. Satan left him. He overcame those temptations. And in that way, he can enable us to overcome the ways of Satan, to deliver us from Satan. One of the ways God does it is the way that Paul instructed Timothy. I think I've mentioned it before with these churches, but it bears repeating. When Paul said to Timothy, in meekness instruct those who oppose themselves. If you are still in Satan's grasp, if you are believing Satan's lie, you are opposing yourself as well as God, opposing your neighbor as well as God. It's all you can do is oppose. Christ said, without me you can do nothing. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Then Paul goes on and says, in meekness instruct those that oppose themselves peradventure. God will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Yes, if God allows it, that takes place. But God sent Christ to deliver you from Satan. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, check out their website, www.calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship. Praise the Lord.